valley of dry bones, a body 4 days in a tomb. Can you picture yourself in these scenes, ancient as they are? Can you stand with Ezekiel as he overlooks the valley of very dry bones that have nothing of the power of life about them? Can you cry with Mary and Martha as they mourn, knowing that if only Jesus had come sooner, their brother would have lived? No one expects that life could come out of death. And yet, God breathes life into the bone graveyard of death, breathes life into the Israelites in their exile, saying to them, "I will put my spirit within you and you shall live. I will return you to your homeland and you shall know that I, the Lord, am God." And Jesus, in raising Lazarus, shows that he is the resurrection and the life, that he is one with God. His actions show the glory of God so that all present might believe that Jesus is the beloved Son sent by God. Only God can breathe renewal into human life, send the Spirit, raise the dead. Only God has the ultimate power over life and death. Death has no power over us. Our passage today comes at the midpoint of John's gospel. Jesus' followers are growing in number, but so is his opposition. Just days before the events in today's lesson, Jesus had been in Jerusalem at the festival of the dedication. The Jews surrounded him and demanded to know if he was the Messiah. Jesus answered that he was doing the works of his Father. Outraged, claiming blasphemy, saying that Jesus was equating himself with God, they attempted to stone him. But Jesus and his disciples escaped across the Jordan into friendlier territory, safe for now. That's where Jesus was when he got the urgent message from Mary and Martha that Lazarus was ill. I feel sure that because of his love for all three of them, they assumed that Jesus would come quickly. But he stayed where he was for 2 more days. And when he does decide to go to Bethany, his disciples try to stop him. Bethany is only 2 miles from Jerusalem, and Jesus' enemies are watching and waiting for him. Jesus knows exactly what's going to happen. He is going to perform a sign that will reveal him unquestionably as the Son of God. Some who witnessed the raising of Lazarus will go straight to the Pharisees. A meeting of the council will be called. The leaders will lament that Jesus is performing many signs that cause the people to flock to him, while the Jewish nation is desperately trying to stay under the radar of the Roman officials. If the Jewish people are perceived to claim too much attention or cause too much public disturbance, the Romans would destroy not only their temple, but the entire Jewish nation. What are they going to do about this troublemaker, Jesus? Caiaphas, the high priest, will make it plain to them, saying, "It is better to have one man die for the people than to have the whole nation destroyed." And from that day on, they plan to put him to death. Jesus knows all this will happen, but he raises Lazarus anyway. It is time. The Passion Week for Jesus is just around the corner. And in his crucifixion and death and the empty tomb, God's power will be fully revealed. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. The resurrection is not just a doctrine or a future fact. It is a person. Jesus is resurrection and life, not only for the crisis moment of death, but for all our moments in life. Where in your life do you need resurrection? Where are your dry bones? For there are occasions of valleys full of dry bones in our life. Someone's neighbor or loved one is diagnosed with breast cancer. Someone's son or daughter or spouse is undergoing chemotherapy or radiation. Someone's best friend is in hospice. Someone's parent or spouse has dementia. Someone's career comes to a crushing halt due to a layoff. So along with our joys, our sorrows are part of human life. Frederick Buechner has written, "Here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Don't be afraid." Even when we are afraid, our God is a compassionate God. At Lazarus's tomb, Jesus weeps. Even the one who is himself the resurrection and the life is deeply unsettled by human grief and death. The Word, who is God, cries with the world. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Romans 8 reminds us, neither life nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The resurrection offers us joyful hope. The raising of Lazarus signifies that God's promises to us are here and now, already, being realized amid and despite the trials of life. In Jesus, we are raised to new life, not only as a future event, but life right here, right now. Resurrection is a possibility in the lives of the many persons and communities who deeply need Christ's presence now. We pray for our own resurrections and for the power of resurrection in the lives of persons and communities bound by the grave clothes of war, genocide, poverty, disease, systemic oppression. And because we belong to Jesus, we are called to be a nurturing community, to care for resurrected men, women, and children until they are able to walk on their own, to tear away the wrappings of fear, anxiety, loss, and grief, so that unbound, they may walk in dignity. We stand at the tomb, listening for the voice of Jesus, ready to unbind those whom God delivers. That is our calling as children of the resurrection. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.